You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello, how are you doing? My name is Liz, this is James Knowles, and this is RBLR Sun. Welcome, James, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I just did the RBLR Rowdy Show with Eureka, our producer Eureka. So at this point, I am full of soccer podcasting, and I am ready to go. I am ready to talk about the Sun now and get into our game with Spokane that we have coming up.
Yeah. No game to recap because we've been off for 2 weeks. So fingers crossed that we are all rested. Everyone feels better. All the soft tissue injuries are nice and, I don't know, healed or whatever. Nobody's sick. And we're going to Spokane, so there's a little bit of time change. Hopefully, you know, we get up there, you know, I'm assuming we'll probably go up there in the next couple of days, get acclimated. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be much better than the last time we played them. So I was rewatching that footage and that was bad. So that match was in September. It's been a solid 2 months or so. Well, just shy of 2 months since we last played them. They broke our scoring streak of at least scoring one goal a game. It was like 18 strong at that point where we scored at least one goal per game. And then Spokane was like, nah, no more. None of that. It was a rough match. We were missing some key players early on. I believe Parker Goins had just gotten injured. She tore her ACL or something. I don't know. It's something in her knee. It looks awful. I've seen the pictures on Instagram. Victoria Haugen was injured. Emerson Elgin was injured and is unfortunately still injured. Jordan Zaid was out and Tankersley was out. And those are two key players, especially in the last couple of matches where we've played a lot better.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see, like you said, when we played Spokane previously, there were a lot of players out, but the issue that we have right now, Liz, you and I, you have the player unavailability report for that game, but also we don't know who is coming back while we record this episode. At this point, like you said, we're crossing our fingers and toes that everybody is good. All the soft tissues are either soft or hard or whatever they need to be in the right place, but we don't know at this point. So who is going to be available and who isn't going to be available is still up in the air, and that will obviously impact how we play against Spokane, and who can even travel over there in the first place.
Yeah. So as of our last match, which was about 3 weeks ago at this point, Parker Goins is still out. I believe she's going to be out probably till the end of the season at this point. Yuki Watari is back in Japan for 2 months to rehab, and then she says she's going to come back stronger than ever. I love it. Let's do it. Emerson Elgin is still injured. I don't know much about her injury at the moment. Charlotte McLean was out. Hannah Keen was also out, and Tosh Flint was sick. So theoretically, we should get at least Tosh Flint back, and I think that is a very strong player that we missed in our last match. We did have her for that Spokane match, but it was still just not – the stats paint a very different picture than how the game actually went.
Yeah, exactly. I think that Tosh Flint brings a lot of stuff to the field. And when you have her at full fitness, which she probably was not in that first game against Spokane, that's going to impact things pretty significantly. So the combination of Flint and Tankersley as well, I think that makes this team, as it stands right now, because it's still a work in progress, obviously, but as it stands right now, the duo, them both being on the field at the same time, that really does make things significantly better for the Sun at the moment.
Yeah. It's leaps and bounds of a difference. I really think it's going to be a very different game. At least for us. I can't speak for Spokane. When I looked at I tried to compare their injury reports between the last time we played them and their last match. They had two players out, but I think it was the same two players. They might just have persistent long-term injuries, or they weren't in their starting lineups for a match previously.
Yeah.
although I'm motioning like anyone can see my hands. So the two goals that we were scored on in that last match, I just wanted to recap those because it was very frustrating. In the 24th minute, Spokane gets their first goal. Lena Solano gets a left-footed shot from the center of the box to the bottom left corner. What happens is Nocello passes to Charlotte McLean. McLean doesn't get a clean touch. I didn't realize that when I was typing that, actually. it gets stolen by Spokane. Everyone rushes to the box without marking. They just rush to the box because they assume that they're going to shoot from there or something. Or, I don't know, pass inside to the box maybe is what they were anticipating. So the Spokane player passes to a teammate who's completely unmarked. And it's the easiest shot ever on goal. So I know back then we were doing a little bit more zone marking than we were than man marking. I think we've shifted a little more to man marking in the past couple of games. So I think that'll make a huge difference. And then our second goal was in the same. This was all in the first half. So we definitely changed something in the second half to really turn it on, or at least keep them from scoring again, even though. Right. That scoring touch ourselves. Allie Cook gets a right-footed shot from the center of the box, straight in the center of goal again. It's frustrating. So Provenzano has the ball, not great clearance pass. It doesn't quite get to the right target. Spokane gets the ball. They pass to the far right, which is was completely unmarked. She shoots from outside the box. It bounces off the crossbar. Another Spokane player that I'm pretty sure Bissett was supposed to be marking grabs the rebound, and it is another just completely easy shot right on target.
Yeah, I think I actually remember those two even without, you know, or at least the second one for sure, without watching the highlights. I watched the highlights for the Suns' last game before hopping on here. But yeah, it was, I remember both of them. I was like, those are not goals that the Suns should be giving up. Those are goals that I think are below where this team, obviously below where this team wants to play. But not only that, it's below where this team usually is playing. I think that we are better than both of those individual moments. And if everybody's back at full fitness, I don't know if Viv Bissett was returning during that Spokane game or if she had already had a couple games under her belt. But I think that with her and Hendricks getting a little bit more time together over the course of the season so far, that should help. And then the other option, the other problem, which we have already talked about a little bit again, is who are going to be the players around them? Who are going to be the two fullbacks, presuming that we play with two fullbacks again? And again, we don't know who that's going to be. It's going to be up to Denise Schulte Brown when she has the full roster of available options for her, but we will not see that until probably what, the night before the game, Liz, something like that.
I think they have to upload them by like Friday.
Yeah, so
something like that. Yeah,
that is not.
Trust me, I click it like every day, thinking like it'll be there, and it's only there in the later end of the week.
Yeah,
when we're already done recording.
So who is going to be playing with them? Hopefully, they'll have some experience from these last 2 weeks that the Sun did not play, assuming that they got a lot of good training in during that time. And if so, maybe they have a little bit more experience with each other, a little bit more comfortability with each other, so that when they go out there, they can understand what they need to do to cover in different situations that Spokane might try to create.
Yeah, and I want to say that was like the last match McLean went in and Sabrina McNeil started filling in that position. And she has been like 11 out of 10 as that last piece of our defense. So I think that'll make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. However, we are playing a difficult next match. We're playing the Zephyr. We're playing them Saturday, at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, because it's over on the other coast. And we're just playing the best goalkeeper in the entire league. No big deal. She's leading the league in saves. at like 43. Next closest is just 22.
Well, there is one caveat to that. I do want to throw this out because right now, when we look at the table, Spokane are second overall, but they have also played the most games out of any team. So only one other team has even hit double digits. Brooklyn has played 10 games. Spokane, though, has played 11 games. So as much as they are sitting well and as high in the table, and as much as there are players doing well according to stats, like the goalkeeper that you just mentioned, it should be noted that they do have the slight advantage, at least, of having two more games under their belt and 180 minutes more in which to get points and saves and blah, blah, blah. So even though they are doing well in a couple of different measures, we have to give that one quick caveat that they are right now, they're three games ahead of where the Sun have played, but they're two games ahead of the majority of the league and then still leading overall for matches played.
Yeah, that's true. And they have actually only scored 11 goals in 11 matches now. I think they're tied with us for lowest like goals per game in the league. And they're eighth when it comes to goals conceded. There's only nine, which is kind of impressive.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. Like they haven't scored that many. They just haven't gotten scored on as much.
Almost the inverse of where we're looking at right now.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Yeah. I don't like when our goal differential is negative.
No.
Yeah. So Sun are a little rough. I'm hoping we'll be okay for this match. Spokane did just play Carolina it'll be a little over a week after when it comes to game day. They did just play Sporting Jacks. Oh my God, I said Lexington and I meant Spokane because I was reading Lexington. So excuse me on that one, guys. Sorry. Spokane just played Carolina and lost to Carolina 2-1, excuse me. I can talk so good today. This is what happens when we do it at the incredibly early time of 6:30. It's practically morning compared to our usual recording time. So please forgive me, listeners. I'm all over the place today. Spokane lost 2-1 to Carolina. They didn't get their goal until the very, very end of the match. So you can tell it was a little bit of desperation going in. Or towards the end there, where they at least got something on target, but they couldn't really finish it up. That also, I'm hoping, bodes well that even though their keeper is phenomenal and number one in the league, their defense is not.
Yeah. It's interesting for me to note as well, while we're on the subject, that they lost at home to Carolina Ascent. Carolina Ascent, who, by the way, are third in the league with two fewer matches played versus Spokane. And this was a couple of games after they went to Carolina and beat them 1-0. So it's kind of hard to predict exactly where Spokane will be. They only have three wins over the course of their 11 games played. Actually, a lot of their points have come from ties because they have five of those. But it's kind of hard to say that Spokane, it's kind of like which Spokane is going to show up on any given day. Is it going to be the Spokane that wins away from home, or is it going to be the one that loses at home? Or obviously there is the option, of course, that they're just going to draw with you like they have done over and over so far this season.
Yeah. And they've played two matches now in a row at home. You think that would be nice and comfortable and everything's wonderful. It's like Brooklyn, who had like a four match streak at home and they only won like one of them or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
So score predictions.
Well, let's get into score predictions. If we're feeling lucky, Liz, I don't know about you. I have not been doing particularly well on the score. Actually, I don't think any of us have been doing particularly well on the score predictions so far. But I'm feeling like based on Spokane's record, we could probably get a draw out of this. I think that that's safe to say. For me, it's ultimately how many goals are we going to give up? And I will say, I think that this will end up probably a 1-1 finish.
Yeah, that's kind of what my gut was going with. We haven't had that goal scoring touch as much lately. I hope that changes, you know, with Tosh and Acello, and McKenna Batilla has been giving her all. It hasn't always worked, but she is trying, so I got to give her that. So I think I have to agree with a 1-1 draw. I don't know that we're going to get that many more goals, but I feel like our defense is solid enough, more solid now than it was the last time we played them, that we will not get scored on as much.
Yeah. I see that Eureka, our producer, has also joined us on a 1-1 draw. So we will have to record all of these and match them up and obviously keep track of our points. Liz, I think you're still in the lead for our predictions right now, but we are not doing anywhere near as well as we were last season. Yeah. That's all of us.
Yeah, last year we were like kind of good.
Last year, maybe when we were optimistic, we just had more reason to be optimistic.
Yeah. It's frustrating. Because we're so much better than what we're playing. I'm excited to get back on see the girls play in a couple weeks, especially.
Yeah. Yeah.
See them absolutely back at home and fighting form.
Yeah, it'll be nice when the Tampa Bay Sun, for whatever reason, don't have a 2-week layoff. And then also when they can play at home afterwards. But I'm not exactly sure who planned out the month of October for us.
Yeah, it's the only thing I can think of is that Blake High School had a lot of things going on the weekend, question mark? I don't know.
Possibly.
It's also, and like someone pointed out, like the whole spring, like the whole distribution of games is so odd. Like I think we play Sporting Jacks twice and then we play them like once or something at the end of the season. But even Lexington, I think we only play Lexington, which actually that might be good. We only play Lexington twice.
Yeah.
Or three times, I think, max, but we go to them more than they only come to us once. Which, yes, now in retrospect is probably a very good thing.
Mm-hmm. They are doing very well so far with their all the new signings that they had from this offseason. They have turned into a very good team, and they're putting it all together pretty well. But like you said, we don't have to worry about them until later on in November. And in the meantime, I hope that we can get this good game against Spokane. Is there anything else that we need to highlight with Spokane? I know that Allie Cook is currently leading their team with 4 goals, and she appears to have an assist as well. But are there any other players that you wanted to focus on while we were looking at them?
Allie Cook is there because she's doing a lot of the work, I think, for Spokane right now. She was the main one I focused on. None of the other Spokane players came up when I was looking for at the team stats and the player stats on the GameBridge site. There weren't really any other Spokane players showing up on any lists for like that's kind of funny. Hope Heisey has almost as the most amount of passes though, which is kind of funny. So I'm guessing they like to pass it back to Hope Heisey a lot.
Hopefully
we can capitalize on that. But there weren't a lot of Spokane players like really making a note. Like there's a bunch of like a handful, even the I will get my brain together today. Even Lexington only has 2 of the top attackers in there, in the top 5. In the top 5 attacking players, I can put a sentence together today. I promise.
Yeah, I think that a lot of this game ultimately is going to come down to how the Sun play. And that sounds like a very obvious statement, but what I mean by that is the Sun have not been doing, I think, what most fans expected and probably what Denise Shilty Brown expected at the beginning of the season so far in the later part of 2025. Obviously, we had the first half, but I think that the team is playing not up to the level that, again, these players are capable of. So we've seen issues with disjointed pressing when we don't have the ball. We have done well in certain moments. We did well specifically against Fort Lauderdale United, I think. But Fort Lauderdale is a team that probably likes to play a very specific way. So if you look past that, we've had a little bit more trouble when teams are able to switch things up. And if we go to the very last game that the Sun played, which was 2+ weeks ago now, so it's not going to have a ton of relevance for what we're looking at, but Sporting Jacksonville, the goal that the Sun scored, you really can't rely on stuff like that, because Sydney Nasello scored from almost the edge of the halfway circle. That's not a chance that you're going to see very frequently, obviously, and it's not a chance that you're going to see go in very often either. So expecting the Sun to capitalize on a goal like that, you really can't do it. And they're going to have to create more chances from elsewhere on the field. On the other side of things, defensively, Ashlyn Puerta is inevitable. And she will score probably in every game she plays, at least when you average it out by the end of this year. And it's unfortunate that she was able to get on the end of one. But at the same time, I don't think that we did the worst job of limiting or the worst job of defending against Sporting Jacksonville. I think that we limited a lot of their chances to outside of the box. Ashlyn Puerta was at the very edge of the box, if I'm not mistaken. I don't quite remember. But if we can do that again here, we probably have a relatively good chance against Spokane, at least on the defensive side. It's difficult to determine exactly where the Sun need the most improvement, because sometimes you see them do well attackingly, and sometimes you see them doing well on the defensive side. And so, yeah, it's kind of a balance, right? Where are the Sun going to be able to do both at a high enough level? That's what we need to see. And one more time, if I haven't hit on this point enough, I think I have, but if I haven't, in case, the team available to Denise Schulte Brown is going to have a very large impact on this. If you have available to you attacking players in fullback positions, then they're going to be able to contribute to that side. Otherwise, you're going to need to figure something else out. And if Dory Haugen is not available, for instance, we have to fill in somebody who's going to be able to get close to that, or we have to change things up. It's all going to be it's going to be an interesting little chess puzzle, I guess, a chess puzzle, not just a chess game, not just a puzzle, but a chess puzzle.
I like it. Something I just checked while you were talking, because it got me thinking. Our shots and shots on target have, between that Spokane game and the Jacksonville game we just played, vastly different. We had 14 shots with 12 shots on target in the Spokane match, where we scored nothing.
Interesting.
Yeah. They had 12 with 4 on target. So it's kind of bonkers. We were just shooting to shoot, I think, at that point. Yeah, whereas, you know, when we tied this game 1-1 with Lexington, we only had, I have 3 or 4, but I almost remember. I'm pretty sure it was, I think the stats were wrong. I think we had like 5 shots on target, so 3 out of 5. So we've, I think there's been an improvement in maybe more deliberate shot taking since then as well. That'll make a huge difference.
Well, that does obviously help us out if we are at least a little bit more choosy about when we want to do that.
Yeah. Sorry, I just saw that and I was like, oh, that is, I remember seeing that we had like 12 shots or 14 shots with 12 on target and then no goals is just kind of insane.
Yeah, very, very odd.
Yeah, especially because we don't usually shoot that much. That's the beginning of the season feels like a million years ago at this point, honestly.
Yeah, it sure does. It's November and I don't know what August looked like. I don't, let alone if you start talking about last season.
Yeah. Oh my God. Last season was 5 years ago at this point, pretty sure. Some recaps, or if we've, I think we've covered everything for the Spokane game. What do you think?
Yeah.
Cool. So some recaps of the games that were just played this last weekend. We had a game a day. So you had a little bit of soccer every day, which is exactly how it should be consumed, or in giant gulps where you watch a lot of soccer every day, which is what I did with NWSL Decision Day. Let's be real. So on Thursday, October 30th, we had Spokane versus Carolina. Like we talked about, they, Spokane lost 2-1. Spokane got their, or Carolina got their first goal in the 59th minute. So Spokane held them off for that entire first half. And then something just broke around the 60th minute. Riley Bazin, gets a right-footed shot, very close range to the bottom corner. They were she was assisted by Audrey Harding. About 10 minutes later, the 68th minute, Carolina gets another one. Riley Bazin again, assisted by Mackenzie George. And then Spokane does come back in the 81st to get one. It's Allie Cook, their leading goal scorer, converts a penalty. So they... But that does end 2-1. Fingers crossed that that game also, our game also ends 2-1. on Friday, Lexington played Sporting Jacks. Sporting Jacks lost 4-2, which you'll love to see it, honestly.
Yep.
17th minute, Sarah Griffith gets a right-footed shot from outside the box, assisted by Hannah Johnson. 51st minute, Amina Eckert gets a left-footed shot from the center of the box. 73rd minute, Catherine Berry gets a header from the center of the box, assisted by Hannah Johnson. The 79th minute, Lexington gets their third goal at that point. Did I miss? Oh, no. Sorry. Lexington is already on their third goal, excuse me, and Sporting Jacks finally gets their first. Paige Kenton, assisted by Ashlyn Puerta. And then Lexington was like, no, we're just going to make it so much worse. Lexington gets their fourth goal, scored by Shay Moyer, assisted by Tati Fung. And then just to end it, of course, because every game, I'm pretty sure she's contractually obligated to score in every single match. Ashlyn Puerta does get that last goal in the final seconds of the game in the 90th plus six.
Yep. That is, inevitable.
Yeah. on Saturday we had Fort Loserdale versus Brooklyn. They tied 1-1, which was kind of surprising. I thought Fort Lauderdale might run away with this, and they really didn't. But then somehow Brooklyn was good in the first half and then bad in the second half. It was a very strange game to watch. So Brooklyn gets a goal almost immediately. It's the 7th minute. Rebecca Cook gets a right-footed shot. In the 39th minute, Fort Lauderdale's Kelly Van Treek gets a shot assisted by Stella Nyamike. And the game does end there. So nothing happens for like 40 minutes at that point. No, longer, like 60 minutes at that point. Wow, that's a long time.
Long time to go without a goal.
Yeah. All right, and then last Sunday, we had Dallas versus DC Power, where DC Power won 3-2, and I was kind of surprised by this. DC Power is good this season. I think we can say that for sure. They are irritatingly good, even though they're only in sixth. I feel like DC is the Spokane of this season, if that makes sense. Mm. They're good. When they're really good, they're pretty good. And then they have some off days now, which is how we thought Spokane was going to make the playoffs, and then they didn't. This game starts with a goal, 13th minute. DC Powers, Jada Bedoya, assisted by Katie Duong. 20th minute, DC Power fires back. Cameron Lancaster, assisted by Allie Thornton. 70th minute. So nothing happens for another 50 minutes. 70th minute, DC Power gets another goal. Susanna Fitch gets a shot in the right side of the box. In the 78th minute, DC Power gets their third goal. Gianna Gorley gets another shot gets a right-footed shot from the left side. And then in the 85th minute, Dallas Trinity tries to come back. Gracie Bryan gets a great header assisted by Rhea Moore. And then games we have upcoming this weekend. So we have Saturday. We have three games. We want one at 3, one at 5, one at 7. You can watch all of them, I think. Right? Yeah, that should work. So at 3 o'clock. We have Brooklyn versus DC. At 5 p.m., we have Dallas versus Sporting Jax. Oh, no, we are Sunday. Why does FOTMOB have a different time? That's so confusing. Did we move this?
Haven't figured out their own schedule.
Yeah. Was this one of the games that got moved?
Oh, that's a possibility.
Yeah. Okay, it got moved. It got moved to Sunday, though, right?
I think you're right now. I'm starting to remember that.
Yeah, because I remember looking at the schedule and being like, oh, that's weird. It's a Sunday game, but FOTMOB is incorrect. Okay, so sorry, slight tangent. Carolina plays Fort Lauderdale at 7 on Saturday. And then we are the only Sunday game at 3 p.m. Playing away in Spokane.
Hopefully with a win coming up.
Yes. Oh, we need it so bad, honestly.
Would still be our first, which is kind of crazy considering how far we are into this season.
I know Brooklyn was complaining. A Brooklyn fan was complaining on the Super League Discord, and they were like, oh, a win would make such a difference. And I'm like, a win would bring us up to you.
Yeah.
One win would be so nice.
We need that.
Oh, yeah. All right. I know it's a short one today. We didn't have a game to preview. I feel like that usually takes up the biggest chunk of time is just going over minute by minute. Any final thoughts?
Well, I think that the Tampa Bay Sun are still a capable team. The good thing that we need to focus on right now, in my opinion, is that if we look back on the 2024 to 2025 campaign, which again, the Sun won, defending champions, the first half of the season really wasn't all that good. I will say it was better than this. We were not bottom of the table, but as long as we are literally within playoff contention come January, I think that the team has the resources to turn things around, figure out what they're doing, and pick out the players that they need to get us on the right track. The problem at the moment is that we may not actually be in playoff contention come the end of the season based on the record that we have. So we do need to pick things up a little bit here. We do need to get things a little bit closer to where we want them. And after that, we can actually start to consider, all right, what are the needs for this team? And what are the next steps? Because if we're not even in contention, that's where we need to. That's the larger problem, obviously. Let's avoid that. And as long as we can stay relatively close to everybody, then we'll be okay long term. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, we have 5 more games left in this half of the season. 15 points would be so nice. Yep. Right now we would need 2 wins and 2 draws to be where Fort Lauderdale is now. Fort Lauderdale is 4th with 13 points. So as long as we get more than that, let's get more than 8 points. Yay. Yeah. that's the goal, I guess. Oh, yeah. It's fun to be a Sun fan, but sometimes it's a little tiring.
Tiring is the right word.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to say that about wraps it up. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.